Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
You're here just in time to hear the podcast on some great football history headlines from October 2nd. We're going to talk a lot about the Washington Redskins and the Washington football team today and go back into NFL history and college history for some great legends of the games in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, football friends, and welcome to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. I'm Darren Hayes from PigskinDispatch.com, and we're going to go over the news and events and headlines of football for October 2nd. We'll start right off. October 2nd, 1932, the Washington football team has its very first franchise NFL game under the guise of the Boston Braves. They played the Brooklyn Dodgers at Braves Field in Boston, but lost by a couple of scores that day, 14-0. In October 2nd, 1950, Chicago Cardinal Bob Shaw sets an NFL record with 5 touchdown passes from Redbird quarterback Jim Hardy, who had a total of 6 on a day. The Cards blasted the Baltimore Colts 55-13 in the contest. We time warp to the 1980s, and in particular, October 2nd, 1983, Washington Redskins legendary receiver Art Monk starts the first game of his 183 consecutive streak of having a reception. The Washington club used every catch they could to get from Monk in a 37-35 nail-biter victory over the LA Raiders. That very same day, October 2nd, 1983, the Green Bay Packers put up an NFL record 49 first-half points against the Buccaneers at Tampa Stadium in a 55-14 drubbing of the Bucs. The point tirade was reached with 35 of them being tallied in the second quarter alone. And then we go to the next decade, October 2nd, 1994, the very first time in NFL history that the opposing coaches are a father and a son, as Don Shula led the Miami Dolphins, played against the Cincinnati Bengals, coached by his son David Shula. The older version prevailed as the Dolphins toppled the Bengals 23-7. Next, we're going to party like it's October 2nd, 1999. That's when we had a college football barn burner when the 21st-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide upset number 3 Florida and their 30-game home winning streak in a tight one, 40-39. Sean Alexander, the future Seattle Seahawks standout, crossed the stripe between the pylons 4 times to help the Tide roll. In 2005, October 2nd, the very first NFL regular season game outside of the United States was played in Mexico City as the Arizona Cardinals triumphed over the San Francisco 49ers 31-14 south of the border. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballless Family Podcast. And I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballless Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team, and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
It's that time in the show when we go to the Hall of Fame birthday segment. For October 2nd, we'll start off in the year 1903, and that's when Miles Lane was born. He was a former halfback from Dartmouth College in the 1925 through the 1927 seasons. The National Football Foundation voted Miles Lane into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1970 and provides the following information on his legend of the game. Miles just may be the greatest scoring weapon that ever wore the Dartmouth football colors. This is exemplified by his 102 total season points as a sophomore in 1925 and ranked second in the nation for scoring. And Dartmouth won the national championship honors per the expert decision of Park H. Davis and the Dickinson system. Again, Miles showed his scoring prowess in 1927 game against the Temple Owls when Lane crossed the opponent's pylon stripe five times and tallied a total of 33 points in the game. That same year, he finished with a total of 18 touchdowns and 125 points, leading the country in that category. Miles was a terrific hockey player as well, earning all intercollegiate honors, and he also had the smarts in school, graduating as an honors student. After graduating, he played pro hockey for the NHL's New York Rangers and later with the Boston Bruins, helping the Bruins win the 1929 Stanley Cup. After he left the ice, he went back to the gridiron to coach Boston University and later assisted the coach at Harvard. During World War II, he became a U.S. Naval commander and entered politics and eventually was voted into the New York State Supreme Court. We go a few years later, October 2nd, 1909, that's when Joe Tarzan Kendall was born. He was a Kentucky State halfback, place kicker, punter, and passer. The footballfoundation.org informs us that Kendall often used his running ability to avoid oncoming rushers scrambling to buy time to let his receivers get open downfield and then delivering the goods to him. Kendall excelled at Western Kentucky, a junior college, in 1932 and earned third-team All-American honors before enrolling to play at Kentucky State Thoroughbreds program. Kentucky State ran a wide-open offensive system, and this suited Joe's talents, and he thrived. The National Football Foundation voted Joe into their College Football Hall of Fame in 2007. We change out the yearbooks and go to October 2nd, 1922. That was when the birth of End, Bill Swiacki of Columbia University was born. Swiacki's education started at Holy Cross and then was interrupted by Bill serving in the armed forces during World War II. He then enrolled at Columbia when he returned home to civilian life. Bill is noted by the National Football Foundation as the man that brought down Army, and rightfully so. In October 1947, the Army Black Knights football team entered Columbia University's Baker Field with an unbelievable 37-game winning streak in tow. The game was hard-fought and close throughout, much closer than most expected it to be. But then, a little-known End for the Lions would make his mark in football history. It was late in the fourth quarter, and Columbia quarterback Gene Resides received the snap and dropped back to pass. He fired a low fastball that made most of the crowd groan, thinking the ball was going to skip off the turf. But then, almost out of nowhere, long, lanky fingers of Swiacki plucked the ball from the ground just before it could touch the green grass and made the reception at the Army 3-yard line. Two plays later, the Lions punched the ball into the end zone and came away with a 21-20 victory, ending Army's winning streak. Bill had 9 receptions and one was for a touchdown in a game. The National Football Foundation voted Bill Swiacki into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1976. Next, we go to October 2nd, 1939. Bob Schlereth, a quarterback from University of Washington, is born. He is most noted as being the first ever 2-time Rose Bowl Most Valuable Player. In the 1960 version of the granddaddy of them all, Bob was the co-MVP of the game, defeating Washington 44-8. That same season, he was voted as a first-team All-American quarterback. The next season, he suffered from a collarbone injury early, but then rebounded later in the season to guide Washington to a victory in the 1961 Rose Bowl over Minnesota 17-7 as the Huskies won the national championship. He was also credited with a 71-yard punt in a game during his sophomore season. One of the most remarkable things is that Bob was legally blind in his left eye, only having 5% vision in it since a childhood fireworks accident stripped him of his sight in that eye. The National Football Foundation voted him into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989. Another Hall of Fame birthday took place October 2nd, 1948, and that belongs to Chuck Dykus, a wide receiver from the University of Arkansas. He was voted as an All-American in 1969 and the 1970 seasons. Chuck averaged over 16 yards per catch during his three-year career in college and had over 1,800 yards receiving, a pretty good number for that era of college football. The National Football Foundation voted Chuck Dykus into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1999. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away two copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sternemann collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you will enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!